T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway.
I'm still out of here.
We down.
He does still own him. Tomorrow, with bull season right around the corner, we are going to start a weekly segment with our guy, Cody Westerlund, because this should be a very interesting bull season, and I am very much looking forward to it. So we will do that. Cam Ellis will be on to talk about the Bears. We're going to talk with Pete Futek tomorrow, too, about what the hell is going on at LSU and a little other college football news and notes. These guys have owned you for months. They still own you. It's Parkins and Spiegel. Hello, man.
What up, Lawrence?
All my effing life! All my life!
That is a bad, bad man.
It is.
He's a badass. And I gotta say, he's awesome.
That's what I say.
That was so loathsome. So loathsome.
How do you dislike him?
I don't see how people can.
How do you dislike him? I mean, he's so good. He's revolutionized the position.
It's because you hate playing against him. You hate the fact that he comes into your house and beats the crap out of you every single time. And sometimes he doesn't even beat the crap out of you. He just waits. He just waits and toys with you and does just enough so you lose.
Stick the dagger in.
Yes.
The dagger. It's dagger time.
Wait, wins are not a quarterback stat. Like, I firmly believe that. But 22-5 over nearly two decades?
Well, that'll work.
It's a good point because, like, we say wins are not a quarterback stat, but when I bring up the other day that Matt LaFleur was 30-7 going into this one, now 31-7, everybody's like, well, you know, I mean, he's got
Rodgers. Yeah.
So they must be on some level a quarterback stat.
Yeah, it's
not as bad as pitcher wins, but some relevance. Like pitcher wins,
I think like in an individual season with a singular team, wins as a quarterback stat is very misleading because you can have an awesome defense or an easy schedule or whatever. But when you talk about
body of work
over that many years, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers has played 16 different quarterbacks for the Bears.
You're finding the common denominator in the wins, and he is the common denominator in
with
the
Mike
Packers
McCarthy,
wins.
With Matt LaFleur, against Jay Cutler, against Mitch Trubisky, right? Like, so that to me, quarterback like wins as a quarterback stat over a career is meaningful. Wins as a quarterback stat for a snapshot of time. Not particularly.
There's
meaningful.
Always going to be exceptions too, right? Like Matthew Stafford is what? 400 as a winning percentage, something like that.
Right. And that's why it's just one thing of many. But like you could watch Matt Stafford and you could look at him and say, that guy is the best player on a bad team. And maybe, you know, when Megatron was there, he's the second best player. But like Matt Stafford's awesome. Everything else sucks. So you don't hold the wins and losses against him. They're not losing because of him. Justin Herbert last year, right? That the team was injured and the team had a bad coach, but he was awesome. And it's like, okay, he had a losing season, but Justin Herbert's awesome. It happens all the time, but 22-5, he owns you.
He still owns you. I love when I get the opportunity to watch with full-on meatballs. It's one of the best things about my marriage for Cubs games and baseball games like that. And really, her brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, just hates Rodgers so much, just like the red hot hate when he does the discount double check thing and he does the belt thing, and my bro-in-law just like gets up and just walks around, he's stomping, and then like 30 minutes later, I find him and I tell him about the, I own you, I still own you. And he's like, oh, I want to punch that guy when I hit that guy so hard.
Yeah.
It's nice. It reminds you of what the visceral feelings really, really are when we get a little distanced from
it. Well,
did
you see the picture? The reverse crowd shot from like someone that was like 20 rows up in the corner of the end zone. Rodgers said he saw a woman giving him the double bird. And I retweeted the picture. There's like 15 people giving him the double burst. You know what I mean? Like, he could have seen any number of people to have that reaction. So, like, of course, Bears fan should hate Aaron Rodgers. But, like, this is like a left brain, right brain thing, right? Like, if you can, like, actually be honest with yourself, he does own you. It's jealousy.
Yes.
And it was a badass moment that
you wish that your quarterback would have in reverse.
And that Michael Jordan
all the time.
Did all the time.
To everybody.
The time.
It's how Patrick Ewing and Knick fans feel.
100%. That was the conversation yesterday. It was like, well, we wouldn't do that. We never had anybody. Are you kidding me? Jordan
Dude
was
used
the
to
biggest
close his eyes
there.
At the free throw line.
Uh-huh. Right. And it's awesome.
But it's not just jealousy, right? It's a helplessness. It's a helplessness of like, I really, and maybe not this time, but there have been times where you're like, we've got the formula. We have figured it out. And the answer just usually is no, you don't.
The
and
answer,
there's just no
the
way
answer
to beat
is
him.
Wait.
Just wait.
Just wait.
Well, but so I found myself thinking about what an awesome last moment at Soldier Field for him in a Packers uniform, if it is in fact that. But what if it isn't? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because there is no reason to believe that he's going to be done being great anytime soon. Tom Brady is 44 years old. That's 6 years older than Aaron Rodgers.
You'll see him Sunday at 325.
Right. Aaron Rodgers could have 5 or 6 more trips to Soldier Field.
For who? I don't know. Maybe for them or for anywhere. Anybody he goes to.
If it smooths over with Green Bay and he stays with the coach who he's teamed up with to go to an NFC championship game in back-to-back years, he will continue to own you. The only reason that might expire is if he chooses to allow it to expire.
Danny, as you talk about the reverse angle with the picture, I immediately went to this place. Obviously, those people have locked eyes with Aaron Rodgers, hoping that he sees them flipping the double bird. I'd love to know, like, truthfully, what's going on in their heart when he says, I still own you. And you know,
beer man.
You know it to be true.
Yeah.
And all you're stuck with is, I'm going to express this jealousy and rage. And he digs into your soul. And you can make the argument that he's looking directly at you,
mm-hmm.
or he's referencing you. Like, there are Bears fans going, yeah, I was the person that did that.
Yeah.
And what did it do to your soul to know that he did what he did, he said what he said, and he was right?
Oh, it's
in your face.
I like to think of myself as like a pretty skilled debater, but there is no comeback for scoreboard. It is the single best piece of trash talk that exists.
And that's the helplessness.
Scoreboard.
It's the
22
helplessness.
22-5, he's got you.
I just scored.
We're
and
winning.
This game's over.
This game is over. It is the you cannot refute scoreboard.
So that's the helplessness.
It is undefeated.
So how does the helplessness manifest for those people like you're talking about? It manifests for former players like Olin with I want to punch you in the face, right? Obviously. How does it manifest for us as we sit here and analyze? For me, I'm sitting there thinking, all right, let's get rid of Nagy already. We need to find somebody else. Need to find the next person to game plan all sorts of things, right? For those people in the crowd, how does it manifest for them? I fear that they went home and yelled at somebody in their lives.
Yelled at the dog.
Right? Kicked the dog, yelled at somebody in their lives, or found people on Twitter and yelled at people on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I was definitely one of the people that they found on Twitter.
Why were they coming after you?
Because I just said, like, I love it. I'm here for that. And I want the Bears or the White Sox or the Cubs or the Bulls to have that. We are the city of Tim Anderson and Javier Baez, man. I am here for anyone that's like, I can do this, and then backs it up.
Yeah, talk the talk, walk the walk.
Yes!
And he didn't talk the talk until after he had walked the walk, pretty much.
But he's done it before. Like, I am pro trash talk, even the silly kind. Like, if you write checks your body can't cash, I still am pro that kind of trash talk, because to me, it's all entertainment.
Right.
It's funny.
But this is a high form of trash talk because it's being backed up at the highest level.
No, this is the best form of trash talk. This is in the game, on the moment, irrefutable, checkmate.
On the road.
Yeah, and like crowd mic picks it up. Not calculated press conference. Like this is how he feels.
It's the realness.
This is the realness. This is we weren't supposed to hear this and we heard it.
And how great is he too? Because he this year in particular, like there's been you could argue that throughout his career that there's been an aloofness to him.
Yeah.
And he's very cool. And even going into the game, he talked about, man, I love going up against the Bears, and I love this. And there's some reflective stuff that's going on with him because maybe it is his last game at Soldier Field. Oh, I grew up watching the Bulls on Channel 9, and I love what this rivalry. And you're right. There's an eruption of emotion at that moment where it's like, yeah, I got you again. I got you. Maybe you didn't think you were going to get me this time, but I got your ass again. And I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell the world. I'm going to stand here in front of your face in your house with your team behind me. My teammates are trying to get me off the field, and I'm not done talking to you. I'm not done telling you how much I still own you. And all Bears fans can do is be like, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
And he owns us.
And the only thing is, he wasn't telling the world. Like, he was telling that fan
you
in the corner.
Yeah, you, Mr. and Mrs. Bears fan.
Yeah.
You, I own you.
That was
I've
my favorite part.
I've owned you my whole life, and I will continue to own you.
Because they're flipping him off, and he's responding.
It was so great. It was so great. And yes, we all dream that like, cool, confident, unflappable nature of Justin Fields
erupts like that at some point because he's had success.
Right? If somehow, some way, the Bears, whether it's with this brain trust or a different one, figures out a way to cultivate, grow, develop, and nurture that talent, you hope that in a decade and a half, Packers fans feel about Justin Fields the way that Bears fans feel about Aaron Rodgers. And it is exceedingly unlikely. Like, it is overwhelmingly unlikely that will not happen, even if Justin Fields ends up being good.
Right.
Like, 22-5 against your biggest rival
is basically
impossible. He's a 3-time MVP. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's one of the 5 greatest to ever play the position.
But you still dream of it because you've watched it and felt yourself on the wrong end of it.
And he felt it. Like, now Fields gets a taste of it. And what does it do? And he clearly, like, you know, if you look at – I heard you guys talking about this on Friday where you were talking about, well, if the game is close and Fields plays well enough and then Rodgers gives him respect in the post game, which he did, that you would look at that as like a Pyrrhic victory.
Right, that there'd be kind of chicken. There'd be a little bit of chicken today.
Yeah, you said you were paying for the chicken.
But this
was like
not,
that.
Yesterday this, does not it, qualify.
Oh, my God.
No
I mean,
way.
Come on. He had no. Fields was fine.
He had moments.
He can get some nuggets or nothing.
And what Roger said was perfunctory. It was not.
It wasn't.
That was not effusive, like, let me go out of my way. Wow, that kid really, we went blow to blow with Justin Fields. Justin Fields had 174 yards passing.
This is the bigger story of yesterday, eventually, and for the whole season, is that we're watching him, and we've not yet seen the undeniable game where you're like, there he is. Yep. Got him. There he is. Like, we're having moments. There's two or three different stretches that were excellent. There was some early. There was some late. Matt Nagy will tell you what number plays those are.
And plays five, six, and seven.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about play 24 through 34. All right. Well, of course.
He's got to watch the tape.
Yeah, but he did. He did, and he's got those for you. So there were those moments, but I'm still waiting, and that's understandable.
Definitely.
It's not like I'm getting impatient. But I do want that game at some point to come because other young quarterbacks do have that game. They have had those moments where you're like, oh, that dude can actually play in this league and it's going to be okay.
Well,
we're going to be okay.
There were moments.
There were moments.
There were moments inside of the game. And when you see what that fourth quarter drive, I think that a lot of their problems are still like systemic problems.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think Nagy is a terrible game planner, whether this is laser calling the plays, and it obviously is, but it's still his offense, his system, his idea of how to break people down. They're third from the bottom in scoring, and they were terrible last year, and they were pretty damn bad the year before that. 2018, pretty good, but like they can't score any freaking points.
Yes.
And I don't care who your quarterback is, at a certain point, you go this long showing me an inability to create yards and create plays and score freaking points. You're not good at this.
No, the offense sucks. It's the offense is borderline unwatchable. I do think that Nagy, the fact that they open up the game with a scoring drive, that actually is a pretty big positive for him.
Sure, he had the game plan in and the scripted plays seemed to work.
That to me, that's like a big one for him, honestly. Like he needed it. But then five empty possessions in a row.
The two zeros in the second and third quarter. Like, you just can't have
it. Well, and some of that is on the young quarterback who's taken sacks and given up a lot of yards.
Yeah.
And blowing situations that cannot be blown.
And he's clearly playing sooner than they meant him to play. So then, therefore, I mean, you hear Nagy talk about it. Like, he's developing chemistry with these receivers and tight ends. And I want to just, like, shake my Twitter account. And I'm like, that's why I should have been getting reps with the damn ones. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's infuriating to hear him say that stuff. And so it's going to take time. Mitch had his 6-touchdown game against Tampa. So it can't even just be one game. This is one of those things where it has to be an eye test thing, in my opinion. It's got to be, it clicked. And like, I don't know how much you guys watched of the London game, and I know Jacksonville stinks, and I know Urban Meyer is totally overmatched. There is basically no scenario that I could see Trevor Lawrence being bad.
Well,
that
I feel like
awesome.
I feel like it clicked for him in the Thursday night game, the week before.
We talked about it, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm a Jaguar fan, I am convinced right now that we're offering that dude a second contract and he's the dude for the next 10 years. Like, convinced. Five games in, some of the throws he makes, and they stink. The drops, the coaching, the losses.
You're seeing the processing of a complex system, even though Urban Meyer's overmatched. That is a complex system he's being asked to run.
Yeah, and the throws are there. Like, he is just special. And I think you can see it with Trevor Lawrence five games in that it's translated from college to the pros. And I don't think it's there for any of the other guys yet. And that's normal, right? Like, I don't think Patriots fans are like, yep, Mac Jones is our guy for the next 10 years. Or Jets fans are like, yep, Zach Wilson's our guy for the next 10. I don't think any of the other fan bases can claim that
yet. I know
yet.
Some Pat fans who are loving what they're seeing from Mac Jones. They're loving seeing the controlled short passes, but they also love that yesterday he gave up the pick six and then comes right back and has the stones to throw the 75-yard touchdown right after that.
Yeah, and Peter King seems to think that Mac Jones is the dude for the next decade. I haven't seen it. I see a guy who is...
I think he's fine. He's not as far as I'm willing to go.
Yeah, he's not being asked to do a lot.
He also doesn't have a lot of talent around him.
Right.
And maybe if he did, it would look better than it does. I think that if we're just basing it off of a six-game sample of a player, I look at Mac Jones and be like, he'll be around the league for a decade.
And
I think that he's already reached like that level.
Got some Andy Dalton in him.
He'll be around the league. Now it's a matter of in what capacity.
What's his ceiling? What do you surround him with? Can he take a leap? Yeah, that's totally reasonable. And by the way, it's in play that we hit the offseason like, damn, we'll see on Justin Fields. Like, does he take the leap? What happens with the full offseason as a starter? Who's the new coach? What do they use that salary cap space for? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely in play that Justin Fields doesn't cement himself as that dude in one season. But I'm with you, Spiegs. I'm holding out hope, but he's not there yet.
He's not close, honestly. No, he isn't close. And in fact, there's still moments where you're like, all right, I thought maybe that would be figured out, or I thought maybe this would be figured out. But it's okay. It's early. I'll tell you the main thing I'm worried about is that he is not, and we've hinted at this over the past couple weeks, he is just not as elusive, slippery, explosive a runner as I was led to expect him to look like. And I think he's not as elusive, slippery, and explosive a runner as he thinks he would be on this level. Like, athletically, he does not seem special at all when he's running the ball to me. Some of the instincts are good, but there's time and time again where I'm like, how does he not explode around that and avoid that? Or how does he not run for more than the 6 yards they need and he only gets 4? Until I see it, I don't think that guy is a very fast and elusive runner.
I think that some of what you're seeing, though, Speaks, to be fair, is processing. I think it's still passing processing that's going on. And then it's like, okay, I think I should go now. And I agree with you that...
I don't see a lot of wiggle.
You don't see the dynamic...
Nope. Even when Russell Wilson would go off and get running, those steps are real small, and he looks like he's going way quicker than some of the ends he needs to beat. I'm not seeing that kind of athletic difference.
But I'll say this, that Justin Fields is a much bigger human being than Russell Wilson. And I just think that some of it, the straight line speed is clearly there. It's a matter of making those dynamic moves in space against guys that you're like, okay, these linebackers and these safeties are fast, and they will come up and they'll hit you.
So will that adjustment make a move faster and make it look better?
I think it will. And, man, 6 carries for 43 yards
from your QB, you'll take it all damn day.
Plays, period. Like, Lamar will best that with some degree of regularity. Maybe Kyler, maybe Josh Allen. That's your list.
Deshaun.
Yeah.
He doesn't play anymore.
He doesn't play anymore. Kind of forgot what it looked like. But Deshaun
Watson was there last year.
But he's also like one of the best pure passers in football.
Agreed.
So it's definitely accidental when he does. Like,
Mahomes occasionally.
Yeah, but it's not
his game. It's been a little bit more of his game lately, though.
Yeah, and by the way, I think Trevor Lawrence will get there too, because that definitely was part
Danny
of it.
Dimes?
No, I don't. But you know what I mean? Like, 6 for 43 plays. Like, I think I think it will come when the rest of the stuff slows down for him.
I hope so.
And not in the, like...
I'm with you on that.
The speed of the game, but in the, I'm playing naturally. I'm just, natural athleticism is taking over, as opposed to read one, read two, read three, check down, go.
It's still very choppy like that. And he does not look super comfortable athletically in that way.
Speaks, I think that I agree with Danny on this wholeheartedly, but I also think that... It's just a matter of, man, if I stay here just a half a second longer, Mooney's going to open up and I can make that, oh, damn it, the window closed. Now I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's some of that stuff that we aren't seeing, like the full arsenal of him as a runner. I also think that it's a little overstated about him as a runner at Ohio State, because he's got all the measurables of a running quarterback, but I wouldn't call him
He's a pocket passer who's athletic.
That's the thing. And that's fine. That's totally fine. Like, I think he can be a really, really good pocket passer. Showed flashes of that yesterday, and Olsen was talking about that. And, like, look at the timing here. I just think that in some of our minds, and admittedly mine, I've miscast him a little bit as a guy who is going to explosively run enough until the passing game catches up. And I don't think that actually fits his skill set.
I don't want him to do that either.
Yeah, and I don't think they're asking him to do that. But where it'll come in is I want him to be able to evade a rush with his athleticism.
And then keep the play alive.
To pass.
That's what he looks to do more often than anything.
Right. And that's what Russell Wilson does.
Right. He's a touch down to check down guy, which is good, as opposed to Mac Jones, who strikes me as a check down to check down guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything is short and intermediate at best.
To me, Mac Jones is a sticks quarterback. And if that's fine. And if you have talent that can help him go beyond that, he will then change and he'll say, oh, I've got Devontae Smith. I can be touchdown, check down guy.
Yeah.
But now it's like, how can I keep the chains moving? And I think that's it,
right? I want to see him achieve first downs with his feet. You know, extend. He's done it a couple of times, but I thought I would have seen it a bunch more by now.
And I think that's, like I said, I think it's fair. I think it's system overload with, like, he's not playing naturally and freely with just some ease at the position yet. But even the play that I'm sure we'll talk about plenty, free play that wasn't,
I loved it.
He threw deep. At least his instinct,
yes,
was
it freeze play. Let's try and get seven,
and because not everybody does that.
But I thought that was like a throwaway, or my guy, if he happens to read me right, like that was. If you're gonna throw it away, then really throw it away, so nobody's got a shot.
Oh,
at
I think that he was. I think he thought there was a penalty flag.
Uh-huh.
There probably should have been. He didn't check. Like Rodgers said after the game, that he actually now like. Side glances at the line judge to be sure that the flag actually came out, which is insane.
Well, Anthony Heron was saying how impossible that is.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, you've got all of these 300-pounders running at you, and you've got 3 seconds to throw the ball, and you're checking if
that's
a piece of
confidence,
like
if
a
comfort.
Washcloth is on the floor. Like, that doesn't... I don't even understand how your processing could be like that. But
what if it was a washcloth? Would he be able to tell the difference?
He's probably throwing deep. Maybe my guy goes and makes a play. Maybe there's pass interference in the end zone. And if it's intercepted, we get the ball back. Like,
and if it's intercepted, like you lost, you know, 20 yards or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it was a punt. Yeah. But in that spot,
it's third down. You're probably going to do a different thing if you don't think that you have the free play to go to.
If you get the free play, if the penalty isn't there, right, you're definitely not doing it. And if you get the penalty, it's third and two, and you on the other side of the field, like, you got to come away with that drive with points. But it was an interesting game. There was a lot there. And yes, to the text and the joke that everybody in the world was making on Twitter and yesterday, like, yeah. Aaron Rodgers would be a great owner of the Bears. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, any of them.
Wouldn't that be like the greatest thing?
Yeah.
Like at the end, if 15 years from now, Aaron Rodgers is like, you know what I should do?
Yeah. Front the ownership group.
I should be in charge of the Bears since I've been in charge of the Bears.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I should be in charge of the Arlington Heights Bears.
I'd be fine with it.
He'd probably make better decisions.
I'd be fine.
I think it's
that.
Easy to assume that he would.
Yeah.
Mark Grody will be on the show today at 3 o'clock. Pat Manley will be on at 4. Boomer will join us tomorrow instead of his normal Bears Monday
appearance. Sure he's writing down all of his things.
He's got all sorts of stuff.
It's going to be a good day for him tomorrow. Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff that he wants to talk about and wag his finger and tell you, I told you so.
Yeah.
Bring on Dalton.
He doesn't want Dalton. He just doesn't want Fields to get killed. And he might want Dalton. I don't even know. But yeah, that's the show, man. That's the show. I own you. What a moment.
The mayor has just announced a parade for the Chicago Sky tomorrow, the 19th of October. That's tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Do we know the route?
Downtown parade and rally. Parade begins at 11 a.m. The team departs Wintrust, arrives at the Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park.
Right here.
For a rally starting at noon.
Great. It's going to screw up traffic.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's a work day. Save it for Saturday, Lori.
No, it's whenever it happens.
She can't do anything correct in your mind ever.
There's nothing wrong. Like, you know, I'm not a big fan, but there's nothing wrong with this.
That picture of her maskless, though, in the middle of a crowd where most people were wearing the mask.
Oh, yeah, she took it off just for the picture, though.
It looked like a candid shame. Well,
just for the picture. She posted a picture of herself celebrating the team. She congratulated the team with a picture of herself.
Shane can't wait to put his... political muscle behind the FOP president.
Lawrence, no. That's a little extreme. I don't talk politics on many things, but this woman can bite the big one.
Well,
I don't think you can.
God,
can you say
one.
That?
I'm not sure.
Dump him.
I'm not sure.
What does that raid this year, Hawks fans?
What does it mean?
I mean, the big one
bites the dust.
Zabriskie.
Jeremy Colleton gonna.
I love a parade.
Speaking of the Hawks. We're going to have a conversation.
Not today.
Not today.
Sometimes. This start hasn't been inspiring at all.
Good time for the Cubs to introduce their new GM, I think. It's a well-timed introductory press conference.
Lots of questions for
Jared.
That's
the thing that they don't ordinarily get wrong, and they got that wrong. It's very weird.
Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Let's hang. We'll play some tape. Let's talk about it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.